not a construction budget that grew in some irresponsible way.
That's good to know. Then I'll amend my comment that we should have the community visioning process more complete, as well as the contracting more complete at the very beginning, so that we agree that this is what we're going to buy, this is what we're going to pay for it. And yes, there's always greater things that we could do, and we get more and more good suggestions as we move along. And at some point, we have to say, we have to look at whether we can afford that and whether it was in the vision. But obviously a lot of good work, and I'm sure that I'm going to get even more good answers from Commissioner Fish's office, and also recognize Commissioner Saltzman's work on this. Aye.
Adams.
I have been concerned about the increased cost of this project, but it's been addressed with the very substantial private fundraising. So this is a very good deal, remains a fantastic deal for the city taxpayers, and I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman, but especially Commissioner Fish for bringing it home. Aye. 49.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
This one also increased a lot, and I understand why. And I appreciated getting the information in our packet as the report from the consultants as to what it was that held them up. And I think that's instructive in our discussions last week in terms of permitting as to some of the decisions that were made and not made and remade. And so it's helpful to have specific examples of what was done when and who said what when we're having those other discussions. So, again, thank you very much for good work. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 49 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, Council Calendar Item 490, and for Council Calendar Item, also an emergency ordinance, 491.
490, authorized grant agreement with Brothers and Sisters Keepers, Inc. for street-level gang outreach from May 1, 2009 through August 31, 2009. 491, authorized grant agreement with Emmanuel Community Services for street-level gang outreach from May 1, 2009 through August 31, 2009.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Since the end of last year, late last year, I should say, the City of Portland and the entire metro region have experienced a substantial increase in gang violence. The increase became readily apparent in December of last year and January of this year, when there were three gang-related shooting deaths in Portland and Gresham. Each of these shootings were interrelated, and local gang members had begun a tit-for-tat battle. In response to this uptick in gang violence, the Portland police implemented Operation Cool Down. I should say the Gresham police also, temporarily increasing the number of gang enforcement officers on the street, quelling the violence. Since Operation Cool Down, we have redirected funds both within the Portland Police Bureau and in our grant funding through the Office of Youth Violence Prevention to focus on best practices intervention, proven to de-escalate gang violence. The police have also permanently reassigned two detectives and one sergeant to the gang enforcement team, while simultaneously moving gang officers to the street during the hours when they are most needed. This is not a problem, however, that police alone can solve. There must be a coordinated approach to ending gang violence, utilizing both intervention and prevention strategies to end this cycle of violence. The grants before us today are a second step to furthering a coordinated approach, ensuring that we can intervene effectively. These grants today are focused on street-level gang outreach. The two grantees to receive the funding for the summer months are Brothers and Sisters Keepers and Emmanuel Community Services. John Kando of Brothers and Sisters Keepers and Tanya Dickens will lend their expertise and proven dedication to street-level outreach and will train and bring on two new street outreach workers. In addition, Emmanuel Community Services will apply a strong consortium approach to street-level outreach. Rob Richardson of Emmanuel Community Services will supervise five street-level gang outreach workers, three of whom will be our seasoned and professional outreach workers from NEA, ERCO, and Catholic Charities El Programa Hispania. I'd like to acknowledge those three agencies for working with the Office of Youth Violence Prevention to tailor their approach to meet the needs on the street. So I'd like to first have Rob Ingram, the director of the Office of Youth Violence Prevention, walk us through the best practices methods these outreach grants employ, and briefly touch on the process that led us to award these two grants. Joining Rob will be Lieutenant Mike Leloff, who oversees the gang enforcement team for the Portland Police Bureau, to talk about the strengthened coordination between law enforcement and street-level outreach workers. And then we have Rob Richardson here, too. John Kanda was here earlier, but he had to leave. So we'll turn it over then to Rob for a few remarks. So start with Rob Ingram.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Good morning, Mayor and members of the Council. Thank you for your time. We're going to run through a PowerPoint first. So first, it's important that we identify some common language and make sure that we understand exactly what it is that the Office of Youth Violence Prevention and these street outreach grants will do. So gang outreach defined as professional adults who can effectively decrease shootings, killings, and violent felony crimes by monitoring individuals, groups, areas, and events. What they do is build relationships with individuals and groups, refer them into appropriate quality services, and track their engagement and success. It's important to note that some common skills of effective outreach workers are that they are streetwise, they have good communication skills in crisis, are even-tempered, are compassionate, and most important, are dedicated. Some of the best practices that we've identified that we've borrowed from include practices from the cities of Boston, Chicago, and Philadelphia. Common identifiers that we look for in identifying who to target our services to: related to gang members or affiliates, prior criminal involvement, not completed education or not enrolled, unemployed, and on supervision. Supervision would be defined as probation, parole, or some type of court supervision strategy. We also consider higher risk, to be 16 to 25-year-olds, recent victim of violent crime, closely related to a recent victim, active in street or violent crime, and consist of having a history of violence, possibly lacking pro-social traits. Our desired outcomes, in other words, how we will demonstrate that we're doing indeed what we set out to do. We set out to decrease shootings and killings, decrease violent felony crimes, decrease retaliatory acts, and increase safer neighborhoods and communities, and also service referral and tracking. Our tracking method consists of looking at the location and time of date that our outreach workers are at, the number of youth contacted, and the number of referrals given, as well as other agencies partnered with. Beyond that, Tom Peavy, our policy manager, will track the follow-up referral in terms of capacity of that referral and whether services were met. And we will also capture types and numbers of referrals given by category, including mental health, drug and alcohol, education, and employment. One key strategy to our approach is a three-pronged approach where we stay coordinated with prevention, which is what the Office of Youth Violence Prevention does, intervention, which would be our law enforcement partners, and then supervision. It's important to note that beginning May 1st, we'll have two collective organizations that will provide a total of at least seven outreach workers representing various cultural groups. The grant process that we followed was a typical City of Portland purchasing process whereby an RFG was released to detail the services that we desired. We received a total of seven consortium applications. An evaluation committee carefully chose through all of those applications and selected two applications that we felt were best equipped to provide the level of services we desired. We have offered those two outreach organizations our resources. We are also recently launching a pilot referral program with the Portland Police Bureau and a host of community service providers. The goal is to, in collaboration with our partners, catch youth before they penetrate the justice system and refer them into appropriate services and then track the outcomes. We are also partnering with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement's Crime Prevention Program, Parks and Rec's Teen Program, the Local Public Safety Coordinating Council, the Juvenile Justice Council, Multnomah County's Department of Community Justice, and their Gang Reduction Intervention Team. The following slide is just a visual that shows our comprehensive strategy and some of the partners that we either do have in place or intend upon pursuing partnerships with in order that we can have a comprehensive prevention strategy. As we move forward, we'll continue to build partnerships and collaborate with the above agencies in an effort to eliminate the duplication of services, increase effectiveness of all agencies, and thereby prevent youth violence and increase community safety and youth development opportunities. So with that, I'll leave you with Lieutenant Mike Liloff.
Good morning, Mayor. Yep. Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of these two grants. These two grant organizations are proven organizations and partners, long-term partners. This is a partnership, a collaborative effort, and a balanced approach. As Commissioner Saltzman said, the Chief's office and his office added two detectives and a sergeant so that we could have an afternoon relief out there on the significant times where these gang activity occurs. And increasing law enforcement alone doesn't work. We need our community partners, our outreach partners. As Rob said, penetrating the door of the criminal justice system, we really want to target youth before they penetrate that door. It reduces costs and reduces a burden on the law enforcement system. Rob and Dave and Tanya and John and many others have been very successful partnering with the police and going out in hot spots, locations. I think the Lowrider event is one of those events where it was very effective in 2007. In 2008, we had community outreach, parole and probation, and law enforcement policing it together. And we had no acts of violence in those 2 years. So we're in support of this. We look forward to a good relationship with these organizations. Thank you.
Rob?
Yes. Thank you, Commissioner and Mayor. Certainly, I just come to single just to kind of talk about in brief the multicultural approach. We've had this approach one time before, and I think it's a very successful component because it touches all ethnicities. And as we know, the flowing fluid part of a gang problem, they don't have those flags. They don't make those distinctions. They actually work a lot more collaborative than one would think. This texting machine and this computer, MySpace, has opened a whole wider door. But I feel greatly that the partnership with the Portland Police Department and certainly some of the things that we'll be able to do, one of the things that I'm really excited about is that we've already enlarged an office that we'll have office space at the Lloyd Center, which is a centralized hub. As we know, we had a Latino and an Asian conflict stabbing over at the Lloyd Center just here recently. So what we wanted to do was mobilize and think to get the best expertise that we could possibly put on the streets in emergency time. What it does is one centralized. It makes one phone call that we don't have to have dispersed to several other agencies. I will certainly be in the hub of taking care of the responsibilities that as calls will come in, certainly I will dispatch those calls. We will be meeting weekly. Certainly we'll have a paper trail that will be able to solidify what we've done and how we're doing it. And therefore, we would have a model to be able to reinvent, to be able to continue this. We're hoping that, yes, the months between May and August are pretty heated months, but we also know by past history that the beginning of school is also a very intense time. School goes back, touching in those gravitations of conflicts that say may have went over the summer vacation time. But I look forward to actually working closely with the agencies that were mentioned, certainly. Together, collaboratively, these four agencies have over 100 years of experience. As noted before, ARCO, NEA, and Catholic Charities, El Programa Hispano. And certainly that gives us the things and the latitude that we'll need. I will say that with Anya and John and brothers and sisters keepers, it brings another approach that we've always assisted and had. One is outreach, which is really going out to be able to insert youth to get them engaged in other activities as far as education, et cetera, and getting them back on a solid pathway. The other thing is that everyone is not cut to the T to know how to do police assistance. In a heated situation, you want to be helped the way, not in the way. And certainly when we start talking about gunfires and we talk about the expertise of knowing that, we think that we have a team that certainly can deal and handle that and to assist the police, not be in the way of the police, and diffuse the anger and the frustration that could be at a certain situation. So, I thank you, Mayor. I thank you, all the commissioners. And we're looking that we could hope that this is something that can launch out and we could get in front of the curve of our gang problem here in this city. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Questions?
No questions.
Yeah, thanks.
No questions?
You're doing such good work.
All right.
Anyone in the room wishes to testify?
No one else signed up.
On either item? All right, unless there's additional council discussion, Carla, would you please call the roll on emergency?
I think Commissioner Fritz had raised the possibility there might be an error in our first one. Shannon, can you come up here?
I think there's just maybe a minor correction to be made in the findings.
Okay.
On 490 and number under 7. It's because my question before had been, why is one contract for one amount and the other for a different amount? And the answer that was just given is that there's two workers being hired in the Brothers and Sisters Keepers.
Oh, I see what
in
you
five.
Mean in number 7.
Yeah.
So that number is number 5?
Yeah.
5 full-time?
So it's 2 in 490 and 5 in 491. Is that correct?
Yes. Actually, it's 2. It's 2.5.
And that you view that, Shannon, as a Scrivener's error?
Yes, we
don't need to amend it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, unless there's additional council discussion, Carl, would you please call the roll on emergency item, council calendar item 490?
Fish?
Great work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank, again, Rob Ingram, Tom Peavy, Lieutenant Liloff, and all the outreach workers who are going to work very hard this summer to make sure that we can do our best to make sure there's no shootings, fatal shootings, fatal stabbings, and that we have constructive alternatives for youth and young adults to gangs. And that's a bigger effort than just those agencies alone. It takes the Parks and Recreation Department with its important summer programs funded by our Children's Investment Fund, which provide important after-school and mentoring activities. So it is really a multi-pronged effort designed to keep kids and young adults safe and provide them something constructive, either careers or something else constructive. So please to vote aye. I want to thank, Shannon Callahan and also Commissioner Leonard for lending us Jimmy Brown of the Water Bureau to help on this strategy.
Leonard.
I do appreciate this very thoughtful approach to a very complex issue that is multi-layered and multifaceted. And I am sure with the words that we heard here today and the work that you all will be successful in keeping our streets safe. We really appreciate it. Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you all very much. And it's important for this to get on the streets as soon as possible, which is why I was questioning that number, because I didn't want us to have to come back and revise it. Wasn't sure whether the findings can be amended like that, so I'm glad that they can. And thank you for your work. Thank you for working with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, the Office of Human Relations, and Commissioner Saltzman for your leadership on this. Obviously, it's very important work, and it's going to need the community to be engaged as well as these particular grants, so we look forward to working with you on that. Aye.
Adams.
Forecast. Predict the highest youth unemployment rates in the nation since they've been recording youth unemployment rates. So having programs funded and making sure that they're working is more important now than ever. Very supportive of both of these items and working very hard, and the mayor's proposed to try to protect and expand programs for youth. So thank you for your work. Aye. 490 is approved. Can you please call the roll for item number 491.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 491 is approved. Commissioner Fish has an excused absence. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance council calendar item 492?
Amend contract to continue to provide funds for the Portland Harbor Funding and Participation Agreement for natural resource trustees to implement the natural resource damage assessment and restoration process by federal, state, and tribal natural resource trustees.
Commissioner Saltzman.
I'll turn it over to Rick Applegate for a brief explanation.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, members of the City Council. I am Rick Applegate, the Portland Harbor Superfund Administrator within the Bureau of Environmental Services. When the Portland Harbor site was listed as a Superfund site, that listing invoked some very complex, formal, expensive, and time-consuming federal processes. One is the cleanup of the Superfund site, which we discussed here a few days ago. The other that's the topic for today is a series of claims that can be filed by natural resource trustees under federal law. to seek compensation for damages caused by contaminants in the river. So if you will, you not only have to clean up the site, but you have to pay for damages to public resources. The City of Portland has been engaged with the Natural Resource Trustees, they are federal, state, and tribal, for 6 years now in an evaluation of those damages. And frankly, their success in evaluating and assessing and collecting for those damages is something that's very important to us as part of our comprehensive effort to restore ecological function in the lower Willamette River. The cooperative assessment has entered a new phase as the trustees initiated the injury assessment, where they're actually assessing the extent of injury caused by the contaminants. But prior to that, working with the city, we've, I think, engaged in what is probably a unique effort in the country, working with the trustees to accelerate restoration planning so that we will more quickly move to the day when we're able to implement actual on-the-ground restoration projects to compensate for those damages. The funds that we are seeking today will continue that effort. We've sought them as an emergency ordinance because they have expended the funds provided so far and are ready to spend more. The good news is that as part of the injury assessment that they noticed some time ago in consultation with us, they have been able to attract additional parties who are providing funding for this effort. So it is clearly a cost-shared effort now, and that's the way that it should be.
Questions for Mr. Applegate? Anyone in the audience wishes to testify on the emergency item 492? Carl, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you very much for all your good work on this. I'm very impressed with the diligence of Commissioner Saltzman, formerly the former Commissioner Adams, who's worked on this over many years also, and the Bureau of Environmental Services. This is a responsibility that we owe to future generations to help repair the past generations. Also want to recognize Patty Howard in my office, who's informing me and more about this whole work, having worked with the Intertribal Fish Commission. So we have a lot of community partners on this, and it's important to continue to fund the work as we move forward. Aye.
Adams.
Commissioner Saltzman, thanks for your leadership. Mr. Applegate, thank you for your excellent staff work. Aye. 482 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item 493?
Amend contract with West Yost Associates, Inc. for additional work and compensation to complete an Ankeny Pump Station odor treatment system design and continue services during construction. Project number E-08830.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. This item, as you can imagine, odor control at the Ankeny Sewage Pump Station will be a very important thing to deal with before the new Saturday market opens shortly. So that's why this is an emergency. This does amend the contract to, as I said, do a second phase of odor control from the sewage pump station.
Discussion on council. Anyone in the room wishes to testify on council calendar item 493? Council, Carla, would you please call the roll on item 493?
Aye.
Aye. I'm a little concerned this again is another contract that's gone up quite significantly since the beginning. But now the level of confidence for the price is optimal, so I'm pleased to vote aye.
Adams.
Aye. Item is approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency council calendar item 494?
Authorize a permit of entry agreement with Portland Public Schools and an indemnification to the extent allowed under the Oregon Constitution and the Oregon Tort Claims Act to maintain rain gauges at various school properties.
Is there any council discussion on this issue? If not, it moves to a second reading. Can you please read the title for council calendar item 495, second reading?
Accept a donation of $50,000 from Fred Meyer Stores for implementation of stormwater curb extensions in the public right-of-way at Southeast 38th and Main next to the Southeast Hawthorne Fred Meyer Store.
Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Once again, I want to thank Fred Meyer for their donation and their efforts to make their remodeled store at 39th and Hawthorne, I believe, the highest LEED that can be attained. And this is part of it. So thank you. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
This is exciting to see one of our grocery store chains really getting into the whole Portland ethic and stepping up to want to be LEED certified and to respond to the neighborhood which it's in and to contribute financially to that. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you, Fred Meyer. Aye. 495 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance 496?
Authorize the assessment of $15,362.16 for a fire watch at 9236 Southeast Woodstock Boulevard.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you. We have the fire chief, fire marshal here to answer questions and give a brief presentation on this item.
John North, fire marshal. In October of last year, the building at 9236 Southeast Hawthorne was inspected.
Woodstock.
I just heard Hawthorne short a time ago. Was given a temporary occupancy permit for the lower business area only. This is a business on the first floor. It's new construction. Business on the first floor, apartments on the second floor with center hallway. They can only exit via a common hallway downstairs to the outside or by elevators. Subsequently, occupants were allowed to move into the upstairs apartments. There was no permit given for that. On January 2nd of this year, one of our inspectors went out and found people living in that area. They also found that the smoke alarm system, smoke detector system, was no longer being monitored. The building owner had not paid their bill, and so the monitoring company had stopped monitoring there. I have photos here of smoke detectors that have been covered up and smoke or fire alarm enunciators, the loud bells and alarms have been taped over. And one of the sprinkler pipes for the fire sprinkler system was broken because of the snow and ice event that occurred in late last year. So basically, all fire protection for the building was inoperable. And center hallway apartment buildings present one of the highest risks to occupants because everybody must exit out through a center hallway. If somebody has a fire in an apartment, leaves a door open, everybody's exposed to heat and products of combustion. Fire marshal has the authority to vacate a building, but there is one provision in Title 31 that if you displace low-income individuals, council has to approve it. So being a holiday weekend and with the fact we had over 14 people living in that building at the time, I didn't think it prudent to put them on the street, so we ordered a fire watch for the building. We contacted a representative of the building's owner and stated they were responsible for the fire watch and for the protection of these people until they get their systems back in order. And we ordered a third-party fire watch in that building. On January 5th, there was a city codes hearing officer that ordered the building vacated for violation of the occupancy permit. So approximately 10 days later, everybody was moved out and we ceased the fire watch. We've made numerous attempts to contact the building owner through certified mail and first class mail. We kind of get it's a bit of a shell game as to who owns this building. We can't get anybody to take responsibility for it. Of the six letters that we sent out or to six locations, two letters to each location, four have come back returned. So here we are today for requesting a lien for non-payment of the third-party fire watch.
Questions from council?
Just for my edification, a fire watch is what it sounds like?
It is. It is a watching? Somebody awake, alert, on duty for the full 24 hours. Not the same somebody, but somebody is around the clock who is capable of recognizing an emergency and making contact via telephone to the emergency dispatch center.
Any other council discussion? Anyone in the room wishes to testify on the emergency ordinance, council calendar item 496? Carla, would you please call the roll on 496?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Thank you both for your continuing vigilance and watching out for stuff like this. It's very important work. Aye.
Fritz?
I learned a lot on a previous lien that we had a month or so ago, and I'm very impressed with the diligence of the inspectors and the documentation system. I love just hearing your common sense approach to not evicting people on a holiday weekend in the ice storm. And so it was obviously necessary to protect their safety even while we were letting them stay in an illegal residence. So thank you very much for your due diligence. Aye.
Adams.
Great work. Thank you. Aye. 496 is approved, and we are adjourned for this week because we don't have